Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are heading into the last week of May. This will be Monday, I believe, the 27th, I believe.
Yes, it will. The day after my birthday.
Oh, your birthday is the 26th, huh?
It is, yes. You guys, Dan and I will be in Niagara Falls for my birthday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
Have you been there before?
I have never been there before, so really looking forward to it. This has been a bucket list thing for me. We are actually taking the Bronco and the e-bikes, and we're road tripping out there, and we have some fun stops along the way. We're going into Lake Placid on the great bike trail around the lake up there, and we're going to pop into Syracuse and do some things there, and then we've got 3 days in Niagara, where our hotel is 100 yards from the falls and overlooks them directly on the Canadian side of Niagara. And the plan is totally slow. I mean, talk about the road trip that just goes on and on. Literally, we're driving like 2 hours with the top down on the Bronco and stopping for the night to go by and then going another couple hours. So it'll be, we're just moseying as we do it and looking forward to every minute and praying for lots of sunshine.
Yes.
That's the plan, enjoying it.
Yeah. It's one of the, when you look at grandeur, to experience the grandeur and the power and the magnificence of that is really special. So you'll really, you can see videos of it, but being there live is so much different, because of it. And of course, if you're going to be that close at night, you'll be hearing it.
Oh yes. Yeah.
Don't worry. You'll be hearing it.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. It's going to be beautiful.
Yeah. That is magnificent. So that'll be a special moment and that'll be great. Hope you have a great time with that. So we've been talking about, the Christ cluttering the calendar, and we've set up the premise that God says, I give you an opportunity to choose to walk with me. I will deliver to you abundant life. And we're trying to help everybody understand the breadth and the depth of that it's not just a piece of abundant life. It's all abundant life. It's it's financial freedom. It is the joy of relationships. It's rest. It's recreation. It is productive fruit that we get to be part of. So even as we think of, we've been engaged. One of the activities that we're engaged in is the activity of the ministry, which we'll share, keep sharing. But there's great fruit, but we've had joy all along the path of it.
Right.
We never let it drift into a should and I better get going, I better do more. And we actually talk about it with our leaders, interesting enough, that they do retreats. And the demand is we could do them every weekend. We keep talking about, okay, yes, the demand is there. Yes, it would be good to serve that demand. However, if you do that, you will lose what you have to give away.
Right.
It's a really interesting thing is that in order for you to stay in the spot of giving it away, you have to be living the grand, sweet life. Now, we know we have trouble. And remember, we keep saying it's not pulling you out of that trouble. And all of our leaders have trouble. But they stay in that spot so that they have to hear from God, what's the right pace for me?
Right.
Which comes
different seasons of different life.
Seasons, different lives. So we have couples that have children. And they can't do ministry and sacrifice the life with their kids.
Right.
Now they can do both, but their God says, let me show you how that would work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be different. Linda and I are empty nesters. We have more opportunity to do it.
Right.
And so the pace that we can do. Now, by the way, if we are going to do that, God says, son, don't do anything else. Don't pick up another thing. By the way, the church says, hey, could you do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the heart is there to do it, the capability of there to do it. But God says, if you do, you're going to lose your margin and you're going to get tired. Mm-hmm. That's not my plan for you. Because, and by the way, what you are involved in, and we'll actually share this because we're going to tape another piece of the story that I've been sharing about the ministry, is it constantly is growing.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, by the way, because of that growth, you're going to have to do things differently. Now, you keep doing mm-hmm. the things, but you got to do them differently.
And follow his leading as he sets it out, even for this, you know, right?
So I have a way, and you got to choose life, and you got to choose to be obedient to my instruction. Mm-hmm. The enemy is the opposite. I'm trying to get you to do your own thing. Don't take on any of the counsel of God. You decide on your own. Stay out of the mm-hmm. kingdom, and you're going to get tired and weary, and you think you're doing good, but you're not. And so he's going to say, your task list is based upon your planning that you've decided are the right things to do. And God says, if you're doing it on your own, you're chasing the wind.
Mm-hmm.
It's vanity. It's of no value. You're going to get tired. Absolutely. You're going to have sorrows. Absolutely. And you're not going to be the recipient of what I have for you. So don't plan out your own calendar. And mm-hmm. your own task on that calendar, let God do it. And we'll get to that. Okay, the second thing that Satan does is I'm going to occupy you in your thought life to be distracted and heavy and burdened that never gets resolved, never gets released.
Mm.
So the occupation of our thought life is several things. So first is unforgiveness. So go to Matthew 11, 20 to 25.
Matthew 11 or Mark 11?
Excuse me, Mark 11. Mark 11, 20 to 25.
Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses.
Yeah. So he's in the context of you're learning how to live in the power and the authority of God.
Mm-hmm.
And you're starting to learn about prayer. And I remind you, God says, I remind you of unforgiveness in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
He says, stop. Because your ability to live out this powerful life isn't going to happen anymore because you're stuck in unforgiveness. Mm-hmm. And he said, you got to go get that resolved. And unforgiveness is between you and God.
Right.
Why? Because it's a heart thing that says, by definition, I'm not walking in the kingdom. I'm walking in the flesh. Somebody has hurt me. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
They're opposing me. Yep. They're causing me trouble. Yep. But I'm living in unforgiveness and it's trapping me. And mm-hmm. my energy is toward that and maintaining that. And I'm not able to live the life of God because his nature is unforgiveness. And he says, that's an indicator that your mind is occupied, not of freedom, but of burden.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're focused on the thing that hurt you and you're not resolving it. So it gets your thinking all the time. What do you do? How do you do it? What do I got to do to fix it? How do I avoid this person? All these mm-hmm. things of occupation that God says, well, yeah, because you have unforgiveness.
Right.
I got to show you that. Okay, another one is anxiety and fear. Go to Psalm 37, 1, and then 7 to 8.
Sure. Excuse me. Psalm 37, 1, 7, and 8 says, Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, for it only causes harm.
So it says, do not fret. The word there is that you're occupied with anger and drive to try to resolve something because something is not working for you. And it says you're developing your own sense of wrath of how you can set this all straight. He says because you're living in anxiety and fear and trying to resolve it. And the word there is it's occupying your heart and mind through fretting. Mm-hmm. And I've got to fix it. I got to make this work. I can't figure out how to make it work, but I got to make it work. And if I need to set things straight, I will. He said, well, you got to learn not to live there because that's not my life. You're doing it in the flesh. So don't fret. Mm. Okay, go to Psalm 42, 5-7.
Sure. It says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Oh, my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All of your waves and billows have gone over me.
Yeah, you should read that when you go to Niagara Falls.
there you go.
he says, I'm disquieted. I'm in turmoil. I'm anxious. I'm fearful because I've let life overrun me. Overwhelm me. And again, are we going to have trouble?
Yes.
Yep. Are you going to have things that are coming against you that aren't working? Sure. Are you going to have things, people that are part of it that... they're trying to do the opposite, and you're caught in that in your company, in your church, in your life, your family. You have circumstances that aren't working out. But God says, don't be disquieted, and you're always upset. I need this resolved, and it's not getting resolved. Or this situation is never ending. My situation with my cohort at work or my boss or the company, I can't get through this, and you're always disquieted, which he basically says you're living in anxiety. And the enemy, see, wants your mind focused on that. And think about this.
Right.
First of all, you're too busy, so you're not even spending much time with your spouse, with your kids, with your enjoyment of life. When you do, where's your mind go?
Well, all the stuff, right?
Yeah, see, it's occupied. It's occupied by these problems. And yeah, you're present, but you're not present.
Right, right. You're very distracted.
You're distracted. Right? You're heavy-hearted. You're thinking about why isn't this working? What do I got to do? And you're not engaging, you know, in the beauty of it. Think about it. I shared with you my experience with Aiden at the game. If I was occupied with trouble, I could be with him at the game. But not with him at the game.
Right.
And he's talking, but I'm not even listening because I'm thinking all these other burdens that I've got. Oh, yeah. Oh, it'll be fine. You know, as opposed to really engaging with him because I don't have the burdens. And Satan says, not only do I get you busy, I get you occupied. When you have time to be with somebody, I have you occupied in your mind. He says, you gotta overcome that. Okay. Another one. The inability to deal with conflict and anger. So go to Ephesians 4, 26 to 27.
Ephesians 4, 26 to 27. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil.
Okay, be angry and do not sin. So is anger sin?
It is not.
It is not sin. It's what happens next. Is don't let it go to sin and give place to the devil. Well, how do you let it go to sin? You don't resolve it. You stay angry. Right. You stay burdened by that anger. You stay agitated by that angry. You're on edge about that anger. and you've let it go to sin because you're not able to deal with the conflict and the anger. Mm-hmm. Why? Well, because I'm not getting resolution. I'm trying to solve it in the flesh.
Right.
And guess what? that is, other person doesn't care about me one iota.
Right, right.
So they're not going to change. They're not going to admit anything. And they're just going to keep doing what they're doing. It just makes me angrier. Mm-hmm. And I'm not resolving the issue, which takes, it's okay to be angry. And God says, actually, it's healthy that you're angry. But you got to let me resolve the issue.
Right.
And if you don't, you're going to stay there agitated because you're occupied with your mind in the flesh as opposed to letting God, you know, guide you. So anger and mm-hmm. conflict is a big deal. Mm. Okay, go to James 4, 1 to 2. It says it in a different way.
Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask.
Okay. So you go to war. You said you describes it as a war.
Mm-hmm.
Conflict, arguing, fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why do people fight?
Not getting what they want.
I want what I want, and you're not giving me what I want.
Yeah.
And the other party says, I want what I want, and you're not giving me what I want.
Right.
What
right.
do you do? Fight, 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 fight. So you could have a marriage, Christian marriage, mm-hmm. that is nothing but fighting.
Right.
Nothing but agitation. Nothing but conflict. You could be fighting at work. You could be fighting with other people in church. You're arguing at war in life because I'm not getting what I want and I'm working to get what I want. And guess what? I got people opposing that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're fighting me the same way. And so I'm trying to win the battle.
Mm-hmm.
And you're agitated. Your mind is always then geared toward what do I got to do to fix this?
Right.
And you tell your spouse, you know, I want you to change. I want you to stop doing that. I want you to do what I want. And I don't care what you want. And
right.
they're saying, I want you to do what I want. and I don't care what you want. You know, and so you wind up in this battle that your mm-hmm. mind is occupied. So can you have joy in that?
No.
See, you can't. so the enemy, remember, is trying to get you busy. Mm-hmm. And then he's trying to occupy your thought life with just the stuff of life, which is what? Kill, steal, and destroy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to get people to come against you. I'm going to get you angry. I'm going to get you fighting and get you getting working on division. And then I've got you. And your mind is always occupied there. Okay. Another one is where I realize I've made a mistake and I got a problem. So read Psalm 38, 1 to 12. It's kind of an interesting psalm, a little bit long, but Psalm 38, 1 to 12.
Sure. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure, for your arrows pierce me deeply, and your hand presses me down. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. I'm troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are full of inflammation and there's no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil in my heart. Lord, all my desire is before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pants. My strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, it also has gone from me. My loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague, and my relatives stand afar off. Those also who seek my life lay snares for me. Those who seek my hurt speak of destruction and plan deception all the day long. Wow, he's having a bad day.
He's having a bad day. remember, this is David.
Mm-hmm.
So he's having a time where he said, I've been foolish.
Mm-hmm.
I've made mistakes.
Yeah, he recognizes his own part in all of it, right?
He actually says, I understand it's sin. And he understands mm-hmm. sin is I haven't sought you. I haven't followed you. I haven't let you give me answers. I've tried to figure this out myself. I know I've erred in not coming to you, but my foolishness is something I did that didn't turn out well. Mm-hmm. And he says, I know it's because of what I did. I made I made a mistake.
Right.
I chose the wrong thing. I didn't seek you, and it wound up being an error. And it could be I made something that didn't turn out financially. I've made a mistake in a relationship. I've made a mistake in my business. And you know that you made a mistake.
Right.
Okay, now where does your mind go? Guilt.
Guilt and shame and all of the things, right?
And you know that you know. You know, when I went bankrupt, when I was learning all this, the part of the outcome of that was I recognized I didn't listen to Linda. I didn't listen to others. I realized my own foolishness, and it was my fault. I saw it. It was my fault. Guess what?
Right.
I lived in great guilt. You know, and I couldn't let myself off the hook because I was occupied. And I can tell you, because it lasted 5 or 6 months, my mind was completely occupied by my guilt.
Right.
I should have done. I should have done. I should have done. I should have. I should have. I should have. If only, if only, if only. How come? Why not? You blew it. You'll never get it back. Mm-hmm. You've lost it all. You're a fool. Your life is going to be different now because of the stupidity of what I did. And you say that to yourself over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And of course, God's trying to say, yeah, that's right. However, how about now?
Mm-hmm.
Let me fix it.
The beauty of the gospel, right?
What about now? What about now? I can fix this. And I would say, yeah, but I caused this problem and it's my fault and I deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
And God says, you caused this problem. It's your fault and you deserve it. However, I can fix it.
Right.
And to be able to fix it, you're going to have to let yourself off the hook. I have, and you're going to have to receive that. But my mind was occupied for months in that woe is me, not as a victim. I wasn't seeing anything as a victim. I was looking at it purely as you deserve the outcome because you made a mistake.
Right. Which is interesting as you say that, I think that brings something to the surface that people, I don't think even realize they do, but in that very situation, like you said, you knew you had done something wrong. You knew you technically deserved this, but then in staying in the guilt and shame, you actually made yourself judge.
Right.
Right.
That's right. Yeah.
Instead of stepping in and letting God be judge and also redeemer.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And so there's that difference. We can out of like in some ways it, you know, that shame, that guilt masquerades as honor.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I know I did something wrong. I know I'm deserving of this. So I'm not deserving of any of this. And that's the lie the enemy feeds is, you know what? We know the truth is that the way that God covers your sin, you are free from that judgment. But the enemy wants you to stay in judgment of yourself.
Right.
So that you don't step into the freedom of what the cross did for you.
Yeah. And the occupation of the time is your mind is always rehearsing that. And you're stuck in a place where you actually did contribute to the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not moving further because your mind is stuck in what I did. And Satan's got you occupied with that. And so your life can't receive the freedom and the joy and the wonder of God's life because you are occupied with your own issue. And God says, I understand that because I've got to get you through this to let it go and get back on my path. And by the way, guess what? I can fix it. And so when you think of the Christian world, See, everybody is generally going to be in that place. You can look back and say, did you make mistakes? Yeah. Are you still impacted by those mistakes? Yeah, because why? You've lived there and you've never let God resolve it. And God said, I got to teach you something different. So it's a great trick of the enemy. So Father, we thank you for, even seeing David walk through this, that he said he was foolish, made a mistake, is heavy burden. It's overwhelming to him. He's discouraged. And we just pray that we'll understand that that's a place to be, but it doesn't have to be the place we stay. And so we just pray in the name of Jesus that we learn past this and learn to release it and let go of the past so that we can have the life that you have for us as we learn to live the beautiful life that you have, which declutters us and puts us in a new path of freedom. So we praise you and thank you for that now in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Rich. So much good stuff today. I'm looking forward to hearing more on this next time we get together. If you have questions, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.